SMA News Today, daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy.
Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 7. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Joining me today is Brian Bucher, who is the first SMA parent to come on the show. Brian is from Athens, Ohio, and he and his wife, Lucy, have two daughters, one of whom is Aiden, who has SMA. So Brian, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for sending me the invite.
Absolutely. No, this will be great. I'm really interested in hearing your perspective and kind of getting just more of an idea about family life and all those things. So Brian and I met at the SMA conference, here SMA conference last year. And yeah, we connected on Facebook and everything since. So wanted to bring him on the show. Just to get things started, let's talk a little bit about your family story here. So if you could just tell us when Aiden was diagnosed and sort of what the process was like for you and your wife in those initial stages. And, you know, feel free to share as much or as little as you feel comfortable with.
Sure. Well, the diagnosis kind of story for us was it happened in a really, really big transitional period in our young family at that time. Aiden was diagnosed when she was 18 months old. And the summer that she was diagnosed, the week that she was diagnosed was in a period of about 3 weeks in which we moved to Athens from Indiana. We got married, and my wife started medical school all within about 3 weeks, and Aiden was diagnosed in the middle of that time period. And when she was 2005, the summer of 2005, and at that time when she was initially diagnosed, clinically, she was determined or diagnosed as a type 1. We had never heard of spinal muscular atrophy, which I have a feeling probably a lot of parents, at least back then and before, weren't really familiar with it.
Sure.
And, so we kind of did some research. We talked to the great physicians at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, and, we were given kind of, a type 1 diagnosis at a age of 18 months. Typically at that time, 2 years old was about the, the prognosis, if you will, or the
estimated
life span, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a better way to put it. But, and so it was obviously a really emotional, difficult time for a while. I would say, it was really difficult for a few weeks as we kind of digested what was actually going on, and as well as trying to adjust our young family to a new city, state, and kind of like phase in life. And it kind of, as a parent, that kind of news is, doesn't just affect one part of who you are.
Sure.
It affects everything about you and your life and your marriage and your family, extended family, everything starts to kind of reposition itself. And we knew Aiden was a healthy 18-month-old. She was continuing to be healthy. We didn't really have, the trigger that got us to have her tested was just a delay in her, her mobility, her ability to crawl or inability to crawl, her inability to sit on her knees or stand or walk or any of those things. She didn't do those things. She didn't seem to want to do those things. She wasn't really a sick baby by any means, but it was just this delay that led us to get her tested. Once that initial time period of kind of freak out, you know, what are we going to do? Like, mm-hmm. you know, the world's kind of crashing in around you is kind of like the initial like feeling. You know, we just started to kind of move forward, which is about the only thing you can do, I feel like. And, kind of just started doing what we needed to do. And when she got to be 2 years old, and they kind of saw how she was progressing, they reevaluated her, I guess, clinically, you know, based on what she was, you know, in terms of her strength and so forth, and the milestones that she was hitting on the SMA scale. And they changed her diagnosis to a type 2.
Okay.
And within that year, her 2-year-old year, she got her first power chair. The house that we just moved into was tiny. Obviously, we weren't anticipating having a power wheelchair in that home. And so that posed its own difficulties, which I know is kind of a universal struggle for SMA families. Mm. And basically what we did was we took her to the local mall, which was pretty empty at that time, and that's where she learned to drive her wheelchair, essentially. Was around at the mall, and she could hang out in a little bit at home. I mean, she was tiny at that point, so we could move her very easily anywhere she wanted to go. And so once she kind of had that mobility that a wheelchair provides, and as a parent, you're kind of like, okay, you know, like, this is without a doubt a non-traditional way of you know, childhood and parenting, I guess, you know. But at that point, with an uncertain future and a smart, cute little daughter, you know, you just kind of change your philosophy, or you enhance your philosophy of like living the most you can every day. Sure. And making every day matter. You know, if something comes up and you want to go do something, you know, do it tomorrow. You know, do it today, do it tomorrow, do it soon. You know, like, don't hold off, because you never really know what the future will bring. Because the climate in the SMA community right now is a little bit different than it was even just like 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Well, and that's like, what I was going to ask you about next was like, after the diagnosis and everything, when did you start getting involved with Cure SMA and the SMA community in general? And what was that like at first?
Well, you know, when she was diagnosed, we received a couple care packages from, you know, I think we received one from families of SMA at that point, Cure SMA.
Right, and right. Then, it was, yep.
Yeah, and then another, you know, nonprofit. I remember receiving something, but basically, you know, we didn't really know of the SMA community very well. Through some family, we got to know an organization called Miracle for Madison out of Columbus.
Yeah.
And at that time they were doing big fundraisers to help provide, you know, raise money for SMA research at Ohio State.
Sure.
Which was a huge thing. And you know, we do feel fortunate in terms of, you know, where, you know, Aiden was born at Ohio State. My mother-in-law was a supervising nurse in the Ohio State system for most of her career. And so, you know, to be that close to really one of the centers for SMA research and SMA care was something we feel really fortunate about. But we went to a couple of their fundraisers. We weren't really, you know, in terms of a community, we weren't really involved in much of a community at that point. And again, like, yes, there was Facebook. Facebook was not what it is today. But we still felt like we were kind of on an island of sorts. And I think it was, let's see, I think Aiden was maybe three or four. So that would have been like 2007, 2008, somewhere around in there. The SMA conference, QRSMA conference was in Cincinnati.
Okay.
And so we went, we were like, let's go to this event, you know, and check it out. And, that conference right there really just kind of changed so much for us. Going to a conference, meeting other total strangers, that the only thing that connected us was the fact that they either had SMA or they had a child with SMA. And, to have that kind of like, really, I mean, I still think it's kind of just a strange bond, that kind of supersedes anything like, you know, economical, political, you know, racial, anything really.
Sure.
It really kind of goes beyond that because it is part of like who you are and how your life is, and there's an understanding and an ability to talk about things that maybe are pretty intimate about your family operations that you don't really share with a lot of other people, because those people are going through similar things. And, you know, and for Aiden to be 3 or 4 years old and to finally, for the first time, really for the first time, like meet other kids who were in the same situation as her, you know, and I remember distinctly, like my one, you know, I have a couple things that I remember very clearly from that conference. The one that just sticks out to me is, and outside the ballroom at the convention center, conference center, like, there was a group of maybe 15 kids, probably 8 and younger, all in power wheelchairs, just flying around playing freeze tag.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, at first, you know, Aiden was in, you know, she was in that group. She was playing. And at first, I was, you know, I have a medically fragile child and she's tiny and she's driving this like vehicle that's like, you know, 300 pounds or 200, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried. And then after about 2 minutes, not even, of watching these kids just fly around, like just, you know, like crazy and touching each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, like so close that you have, because you're playing freeze tag. And nobody, no accents, no near accents, and just to see them laugh and have such a huge time together, you know, was just something that really just opened up a lot within me and like within my wife and you know, to have that kind of like, okay, we're no longer on an island. You know, like we might not see these people until the next conference, mm-hmm. or maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever. But, you know, the experience of that weekend was just so profound. It really kind of changed the trajectory of kind of how, in some ways, how our lives went from that point to this point. So that was really the first, those were a couple of the first like experiences within the SMA community for us.
Sure, sure. Oh, I mean, yeah, that first conference definitely, you know, makes a big impact. And yeah, it's funny you mentioned that about, you know, wheelchairs flying around and all that, because when I was at last year's conference, some family friends of ours said they remember me doing that when I was that age too. So it's very common. It happens every year, but yeah.
Yeah. It just never... I mean, even when I see it, like last year or 2 years ago or whenever, you know, even now, and Aiden is not in that group, you know, because now she's, you know, 14,
sure.
Of course, you know, you don't play those kind of games, but it still has a very similar feel for me to see other children do that.
Sure.
And absolutely. To see that look on other parents, you know, like it's just, it's really something that's hard to put in words.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and jumping off that, so, you know, once you started getting more involved in the SMA community, going to conferences and such, so eventually you started Aiden's Dream. So could you talk about the genesis of that organization and what it does?
Sure. And like I said, the when we went to the Cincinnati conference, and how that experience really kind of molded or changed the trajectory of, of our family, that had a lot to do with forming Aiden's Dream. And basically, you know, as the years went by, we, you know, we'd be part of fundraisers. We'd know a lot of fundraisers. And it seemed like, excuse me, from our perspective, that a lot of the nonprofits that were out kind of being broadcasted across the SMA community really raised money to go towards SMA research.
Sure.
Which by no means is that not a profoundly important thing. And, you know, with the advent of Spinraza, you know, a lot, you can honestly say a lot of that was is very well spent, and like gene therapy and like all these other things are starting to come to the surface. So by no means is that a criticism of any of these organizations, because it's all very important. But one thing that, like, you know, in conversation we'd have, like, between my wife and Aiden at that time, like, there weren't a lot of organizations that were aimed to directly benefit or directly assist SMA families, like, who, you know, have real world struggles and real world needs that our system, you know, our social system, if you will, political, economic, however you want to call it, you know, healthcare, social services, they just weren't, they weren't being helped. And, you know, and our opinion is, you know, when you have a child, and it, and we're not, we don't just focus on children. You know, we help everybody in the SMA community, you know, children, parents, teens, adults, everybody. But, you know, when, as a parent, when you get to the point, you know, where you have a child with SMA, and you do, you know, the time becomes precious. And, you know, and even if your child grows to be an adult and, you know, an older adult even, like, you really kind of have to live that precious, you know, time is a precious commodity. And one of the saddest things is when we come across situations where there are families who aren't able to enjoy time or the time with their family together as a unit as much, because they're struggling to get this piece of equipment, or they're struggling to, you know, maybe raise money for this, or they, you know, they don't have this piece of equipment, they don't have this or that, or they don't, maybe this family feels like they're kind of, you know, they have people on Facebook, but they've never met another SMA family, you know. I mean, all these things can really just be overwhelming, and parents should not be having to juggle all of that. And conversely, as a teen or young adult, you know, you're going up against odds, you're going into situations that are in many ways built against you. And there are certain things that you have to kind of deal with that, you know, maybe they'd be good to have an organization that could be there to help if help is needed. And one of the first things, you know, and so we also wanted to, when we decided that we wanted to create a nonprofit for SMA individuals and families, we wanted to build it in a way that was aligned kind of with our passions, in line with what Aiden's passions are, in hopes that it will continue, and we'll continue to do this. And even when life gets crazy, it's something that we enjoy doing, where it's not as, you know, it just doesn't consume you in a negative way, I guess is maybe what I'm trying to say here. But so the way that we kind of built Aiden's Dream was to raise money for this community by primarily hosting live music events.
Okay, cool.
Aiden's been going to festivals and concerts since she was 6 months old.
Okay.
And she's been camping. She's just seen countless concerts of all different varieties, you know, like most of it was like mom and dad's favorites until she got old enough and we took her to a Wiggles concert.
Okay.
And then, you know, then it was, you know, back in the day, like Hannah Montana and Taylor Swift. Yeah. And, you know, and then we took her to a festival called Delfest, and it was a bluegrass festival. And we arranged for her to meet one of her favorite bands at the time called Old Crow Medicine Show.
Okay.
And we ended up meeting them at the festival, and they spent about an hour. The entire band spent about an hour with us and hanging out with Aiden, talking to her about what books she likes to read and talking to her about, you know, Appalachia, like folk tales and just really just having real conversations and being fun and personable. And, for her, that really was just kind of a huge moment in her life to like kind of experience that end of like musicians and live music and meeting these people who have bring such a joy through their music to her. And so we then took her to see Old Crow in Cleveland. We took her to see Old Crow in Nashville. And coming back from Nashville, you know, we had this conversation where like, well, what, you know, like what if we used hosting live music events to raise money for the SMA community? And we just kind of like hashed it out over a 6 month period, decided, hey, do we want to commit doing this, you know? And we did. And so she was 10 when we finally, or when we first established it as a 501c3, or actually just as a nonprofit through state. The 501c3 came a little bit later in terms of the paperwork for that. But she was 10. We held our first concert in a town here with a couple local bands, and you know, we've been doing it ever since. We've done a lot in conjunction with Ohio University and different programs there and different organizations there, classes there, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to host some of the biggest up and coming acts, musicians, bands, and mostly Americana genre of music, bluegrass, Americana. But we've raised, we've raised over $40,000 in 4 years. And, you know, keep in mind, too, that is basically, I mean, it's just our family that does this. So, I mean, it's we don't. And we're also, you know, located in Southeast Ohio. So we live in a small town. We've only done our events here in Athens. You know, we might be looking to branch out. I think we have some ideas of doing that in the near future. But, you know, so what we've primarily done, because it takes, you know, we've been cautious to kind of just jump in and do everything that we've wanted to do in terms of assisting families. There's a lot that goes into that. And an organization has to have a certain type of structure to provide certain types of services. So as we kind of continue to build some of our structure and, you know, kind of build what we can do, as well as, you know, living our lives and, you know, my wife's, she's an OBGYN physician.
Okay.
You know, Aiden is 14, Seneca's 7. I'm a stay at home dad, but I'm involved in different things in the community on top of Aiden's dream. So,
sure.
You know, so it kind of comes in waves as we can do it. But our primary way of most of our money at this point has been to sponsor, families to attend their first Cure SMA conference, because that is the feeling that we held on to from the Cincinnati conference, and the feeling we get returning to conferences. really, you know, has really just driven us to try to get other families to be a part of that, and not even try to get them to be a part of it, but allow them the opportunity to be there. We've worked multiple times trying to get grants from Southwest Airlines to fly people. That has been unsuccessful at this point, but you know, we continue to try that. But our first year of being able to sponsor families, we sponsored 4 families to go to the Disneyland conference a couple of years ago. Last year we sponsored 6 families last year. This year we're also looking to do 6 well.
And you guys were just in Disney World too.
What's that?
You were just in Disney World too, correct?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, and we try to do, you know, depending on where, like at Disney World, we, you know, provided our families with the children, the families, we provided them with like toys and, you know, autograph books, and we gave them like gift cards for food to help with that. And so we sponsor them, the registration, we cover the registration. We also cover hotel stay. Last year it was a little over, I'm going to say $12,000 that we donated for that. This year will be pretty close to the same. This year we're doing something a little different that I don't think has technically been announced yet, but I guess I could technically announce it. After we left last year's conference at Disney World, last year we've been at Disney Parks, and that's been the Saturday evening entertainment is, hey, here's some tickets that, a sponsor provided everyone. And you know, that's Saturday night, you know, which has been awesome. It's been great. Dallas does not have such an amusement park right there. So I approached right after a conference last year, I approached QRSMA with our interest in hosting a concert at the QRSMA conference this year. Aiden's dream doing that because, you know, a couple of reasons. First of all, like, you know, that's kind of the other arm of what we do. We host live music events, and I think we host pretty good live music events. But secondly, you know, I have a feeling that there are a lot of kids that attend the QRSMA conference that maybe have never been to a real concert.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of logistics. There's a lot of fears and anxieties about taking kids who are generally medically fragile. I don't know if that's the best way to like describe
have a lot
it,
of,
but, like,
yeah, I mean, have a lot of needs and concerns
crowd. And we feel very deeply about the importance of live music. That's something that we see countless shows every year. And so we wanted to see if we could bring in, host a concert for the conference. And, you know, after going, I would say back and forth, but exchanging emails and having conversations with people at QRSMA and explaining why we really wanted to do this. And I think it would be something really fun for, you know, as a social time for parents, you know, to listen to music or to talk to each other, enjoy a drink or two while listening to music, and kids to have the opportunity to dance with each other and just kind of not worry about things for a little while. So we have booked 2 great bands out of Austin, because Dallas is right next to Austin, which is one of the hot spots of music in our country. And we have 2 bands that will be performing in the main ballroom at on Saturday night at the SMA conference. So,
oh, that's awesome. Wow.
And obviously it's a free show. This is just another service that we wanted to provide the community. And so something we've been kind of working on for quite a while, and we're awfully excited about it. So I'm sure something will come up soon in terms of like announcing it online, but we're pretty excited to get that out there.
Oh, that sounds great. I mean, I look forward to it because I'll be at the conference this year too. So I look forward to hearing that.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Well, I mean, yeah, you kind of answered pretty much all my questions there. I guess just in, because I was going to ask you about, you know, daily and family life and all that, but you already said it. But I guess just in closing, if you could just say, so I know this is kind of a heavy question, but if you could just say kind of one thing. So being an SMA parent, and then you also have, you know, a daughter who doesn't have SMA, and you have a really unique perspective as a parent. So what's something that you wish that society would better understand just about people with SMA or with other disabilities that they just don't really think about, and that something you've noticed since becoming an SMA parent?
Well, yeah, that's a huge question. It's a great question. You know, I think, you know, Kevin, I think there's a huge need for continued push for accessibility.
Sure.
And I mean, and yeah, I know accessibility is kind of the big, like, it's a big umbrella term, and but truly, I mean, accessibility is way, way more than curb cuts and parking spots.
Right.
And, you know, those type of classic things. And, you know, I would say that's something that's, especially as a family that goes to a lot of events, a lot of concerts, a lot of festivals, unfortunately, it's, when a venue or an organization puts on a festival, when they have accessibility in mind, and, you know, not just, you know, when all forms of accessibility, it really sticks out, because it's so rare, to come across, any kind of venue, any kind of, you know, even like restaurants that we go to, or, sidewalks that you're walking down in your own town. It's so rare to not have to worry about that. And, I mean, anywhere we drive, you know, finding a parking spot and, you know, finding a parking spot that we can lower our ramp out of our van, you know, and I won't get started on all that, but
yeah, no, I understand.
But I think like for me, like accessibility, you know, mastering accessibility, or at least putting accessibility on the forefront of your thinking, really prevents, like, the end goal is to allow people who, and this is in my corner of the world, you know, what our experience is, but when we, someone in a wheelchair with a mobility challenge, to not have to confront that challenge everywhere they go. Mm-hmm. And that, unfortunately, you know, our society is built to, every time that we drive somewhere and we have to find a parking spot, every time you want to go in someplace and there's not a ramp, or every time you have to, like, have people move their tables so you can get to the table that the waiter or the hostess is trying to get you to, every time that all those events take place, it brings attention to the fact that, like, my daughter is in a power chair. Now, I mean, she doesn't complain about it because, I mean, that's a whole different thing. Like, her mentality is totally different than my mentality as a parent. But, like, it's a struggle that, you know, this whole community has to work through every single day, just to kind of do what they want to do. And I feel like, honestly, I feel like accessibility is no different to me than civil rights. I mean, it's a civil right.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, to not provide the same opportunity to somebody because they have a mobility challenge, to say that that's okay, but, you know, it's not okay for someone to be disadvantaged because of their race or their gender or their sexual orientation, which, don't get me wrong, Like, that's not okay either. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree 100% with that. But for me, accessibility belongs every bit in that same conversation. And it's something that is an internalized challenge that I think every person, either in a power chair, a wheelchair of some sort, not just power chairs, but again, like I'm speaking specifically, and friends and family, of those people, you know, in that situation, like, it's something that is such a huge issue. And so that's something that, you know, I'm on the Athens City, Commission's, Disability Commission. Oh, cool. And, you know, that's one thing that we're working on doing because our town is not real great at that. But we're working to try and make it better. So I would say, that is a huge, thing that just drives me insane. It's such a disappointment, when you feel like it's really not that big of a deal for people who aren't in that situation.
Fair.
So I don't know if that exactly answers.
That answers the question. I fully agree. So that's perfect. But no, this was great. So, Brian, I just want to say, you know, thank you for sharing your story here, your perspective, all these things. This was a really great discussion. For our listeners out there, you can find out more about the Booker family and Aiden's Dream at it's www.aidensdream.org, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. And they're all over social media. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I would just say that one of the things that, unfortunately, when you have about 400 things on your plate, the yeah. website isn't updated all that often. But, you know, our Facebook page and Instagram tend to be updated pretty frequently. So we have some exciting things going on. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. Give them a follow. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Brian. And yeah, for our listeners out there, for more stories like this, you can find all episodes of the SMA News Today podcast on iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud, and here on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. Be sure to follow us for daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy. I'm Kevin Schaefer. We'll see you next time.